This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
On the right-hand side of the homepage, under Community Events.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is approximately 10 a.m. Astute listeners who've been with us for a while this morning know that Mr. K. Johnston was on KBOO earlier today, and if you missed it, you can see him coming right up, as you just heard. Coming up now on KBOO is Flashpoints with your host, Dennis Bernstein. Air Cascada is off today. Stay tuned. As coming up at 11, the digital divide, host Rabia Yeaman will take your calls about the government spying scandals, privacy on the internet, an update on the Bradley Manning court martial, and she'll have an interview with the owner and founder of local handmade lighting manufacturer Brian Faraday of Schoolhouse Electric. Thanks, KBOO members, for your support. If you are not a KBOO member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm when you click on Donate Today. Stay tuned for Flashpoints.
Flashpoints, Bradley Manning's release of secret military documents was quite selective, even though it included thousands of pages. Also, we'll hear more about the fight to open up the Bradley Manning trial for complete coverage, including auditory transcripts of the proceedings. Consortium News editor Robert Perry will join us to talk about Obama's dangerous dilemma, and we'll have more on the pandemic of rape and sexual assault in the military and how you can fight back. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. This is your daily investigative news magazine. Well, many Americans, particularly the young, are angry over government spying and are cheering on leakers who release secret documents. By taking the establishment side of this debate, President Obama risks discrediting the government, just as it's needed on global warming and other critical issues. Sorry for that, Robert Perry, but welcome back to Flashpoints.
Thanks, Dennis.
Well, it's good to have you with us. And, well, this isn't exactly about the secret documents, but I can tell you that the youth in this country at all levels and all places are getting very frustrated. They've been very supportive. I'm talking about, for instance, those youth who are very excited about legislation about undocumented workers. And they're, honestly, one of them who met with the president or was with the president to introduce the legislation to Congress referred to him as the deporter-in-chief and feels that he's really been betrayed. They were supposed to have a little meeting with Obama after the introduction of the legislation into Congress, and they had a few questions ready for him, and he just slipped out the side door, and there they were, standing alone.
Well, you know, presidents are sort of known to be rather hard to get hold of.
Elusive. But there was supposed to be some minute or two for these kids.
No, there should have been. I'm not familiar with the incident, Dennis, yeah. But I do agree with you. But it's sometimes you think, gee, you know, it'd be good to be able to reach some of these people and actually shake them a bit and give them a piece of your mind. But then, of course, the Secret Service would arrest you. So.
All right. Talk about Obama's dangerous dilemma. What is the dilemma, Bob?
Well, you know, I think one of the real problems we're facing here is that the world is in a real crisis, and there needs to be the only way to really to address issues like global warming in a serious way is to have government coordination of some rather stringent policies to get control of these emissions that have been damaging the environment and leading to this increased temperature on the planet. So. And there are other issues, including things like income inequality that's also creating a great deal of division and trouble for the world. To address those problems, you really need effective governance. There's no way for individuals to simply do it. Yet at the same time that that governance is so important, President Obama seems rather disconnected from the fact that by engaging or allowing the continuation and expansion of these programs of secrecy and surveillance, he is undermining exactly the confidence that the public needs to have in governance. So, in a way, he's playing into the hands of the most extreme Tea Partiers who say that government is evil and bad and you have to shut it down and give corporations basically total control. So in a way, if he continues on the course he's going, and he seems to be rather intent on doing that, he is in effect making it more difficult for the world to address these existential problems.
And what do you think has been the impact on his credibility, his reputation, both in the United States and globally? I mean, it seems if we believe some of these polls, and I'm not one to believe in pole vaulting that much, but it's sort of like a 50-50. Some of us love being surveilled and some of us hate it. But how what's going on? Well, how can you read that?
Well, yeah, there were, certainly after 9/11, it seemed like the only liberty that many Americans cared about was the freedom to go to the shopping mall and not being afraid of being killed by terrorists. And they were willing to pretty much give up an awful lot of their constitutional rights in exchange for security. And certainly President Bush played off of that. He got us into a war in Iraq that had really nothing to do with 9/11, but he was able to use the fear and anger and confusion to bring that about. So you had that attitude among many of the American people. That seems to have ebbed a bit. But there is still this sense among large portions of the population that what they really want is not to have to worry about being attacked by terrorists, even though you probably have to worry more about being hit by a mile-wide tornado these days as the extreme weather keeps sweeping across the United States. So we seem to be placing our desire for security in all the wrong places. And many Americans, while they talk about their love of liberty, don't really seem to know what that means in any classical sense.
I think that's
part of the problem. So you will have some Americans who will say, "Well, sure, of course, we'll accept all these constraints on our freedoms and we'll accept surveillance as long as it gives us a measure of safety from some Al-Qaeda terrorists coming along and killing us."
You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. We're speaking to Consortium News editor Robert Perry, talking about his article that's up on the site now, Obama's Dangerous Dilemma. Well, tell us a little bit about the phases of the Confederacy and where this comes in, Bob.
Well, I think there's, if you go back through history in terms of where the American right has come from, and this is certainly part of this dilemma that we face in a historical sense, We've had a movement that you can trace back to the founding and even somewhat before that, but around the time of the Constitution being put into place, many of the anti-federalists, those who opposed the Constitution, while some of them were sort of populists, more from the point of view of being people who didn't have much money, there were also Southern plantation owners who were very concerned, as they expressed at the time, that if you concentrated power in the federal government, as the Constitution did, inevitably that would lead to the end of slavery. So some of the opposition to this idea of a strong federal government was always driven by this fear among Southern slave owners that their investment in human beings would be ultimately wiped out. In a sense, they were sort of shown to be correct, but so you had much of that opposition even after the Constitution comes into play. In very narrow votes, in some cases, the Constitution was ratified, And it did concentrate a great deal of power in the federal government compared to what the Articles of Confederation had done. But there was always this resistance on the part, especially in the South, to giving the federal government much power, because the feeling was that even if something like disaster relief was being done by the federal government, that that would empower the federal government eventually to move in against slavery. And that, of course, explains a lot of our history up to the point of the Civil War, and this idea that the states should have the rights to do what they wanted. And ultimately, that was defeated in the Civil War, but it never really was defeated. You had the period after the Civil War going all the way through to the 1960s, when you had legal systems of discrimination against blacks, you had segregation, you had Jim Crow laws, and it took again the federal government's intervention in that time frame to stop these practices in the South. Now, that in effect created the what we call now the new right, the modern American right.
And just to point out, Bob, what you mean there is that the federal government, after the civil rights legislation was passed, there had to be federal agents and federal police. Even the FBI and the local ATF in the South were not trusted to enforce the law. So there really was a lot of federal activity enforcing those laws, correct?
Correct. And that was done essentially during the Eisenhower. Well, Truman, I guess, began some of it, but then during the Eisenhower administration and then the Kennedy administration and the Johnson administration, there were these strong efforts to break the back of segregation once and for all. And that created tremendous resentments among the white Southerners and was a tremendous impetus for the modern right. To this day, there was a reason why Nixon in 1968 decided he would focus on the so-called Southern strategy and bringing the white Southerners into the Republican Party. And he knew he could play off against their resentments about integration and empowering black people. So that was, and that remained a big part of what the right has done. Ronald Reagan, as you remember, Dennis, we were both around at the time where he started his national presidential campaign in Philadelphia, Mississippi, making sort of a reference by his presence to some of the darkest days of the fight against civil rights. So you had this effort to create a movement that had it as an important element, this whole notion of white resistance to civil rights and to the federal government's role in breaking the back of segregation.
Listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. Bob, we're running out of time, so I'd like you to sort of sum up what's at the core of the piece and then just talk a little bit about Manning and what's going on now.
Well, President Obama is making a major political blunder, I think, in this analysis by sort of signing up with the establishment view on the use of both secrecy and surveillance. Going after the whistleblowers like Manning and others, that he has sort of put himself in a position where many of his own supporters are extremely angry, from at least what I can gather, that he would join with this effort to sort of to advance this cause of surveillance and secrecy rather than what he had claimed he wanted to do, which was to have transparency and as much open discussion as possible. So he in a sense is buying into this, to some of the worst elements of what centralized power in the federal government can do, and in doing so, he is playing into the hands of the Tea Party people, the anti-government people, who argue that there has to be a rollback of government power because that will inevitably lead to people losing their liberties. Now, a big part of what the right has been after is to both deregulate corporations and allow them to operate as they wish, and to roll back the whole effort of having equal rights in this country. So Obama is, in a sense, playing into that by embracing some of the surveillance and secrecy provisions that he has.
this really does seem to be an out-of-control presidency when it comes to secrecy, when it comes to things like secret military policy. This is out of control. You got a minute.
Well, no, I think President Obama is creating problems for himself. And yes, there are a lot of people who wish him well and his administration well and recognize both its historic value as being the first African-American president, and the idea that some kind of reformist federal government is needed if we're going to address these big problems we face as a nation and a world. But he is, by his behavior, creating a huge political problem for himself and his supporters. He's creating an argument for the Tea Party people and for the libertarians who do not have in mind his political advantage. They would like to see the whole federal government roll back in a very profound way, in a way that would very likely be very destructive to the country and the world. So that's the dilemma, and I think everyone's trying to grapple with it, and that's why I wrote the article.
All right. Well, the article is Obama's Dangerous Dilemma. It's up now on consortiumnews.com. We've been speaking to its author and the editor of consortiumnews.com, Robert Perry. Bob, thanks for joining us again on Flashpoints.
Thanks, Dennis.
All right. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. Coming up next, we're going to hear about how selective Bradley Manning was in terms of releasing the documents. And also, well, listen to this. In Berkeley, I'm Dennis Bernstein. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. Well, we're joined again by attorney William Simpich. Bill is working for the people. He's working with reader-supported news to gain access for more and all the journalists who want to cover what's going on in Washington and the environs around Bradley Manning. And you've written a piece today, Bill, that is an important piece. The issue came up in our last interview when you made the point that Bradley Manning was quite selective about the documents he chose to release, because there has been people saying that maybe he was just a blanket release and Mr. Snowden, with more experience, was more selective. You want to talk a little bit about this?
Sure.